comes to the Father, except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen me." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father. It is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Father, we're so grateful for your great love in our lives. So grateful for your redeeming love, reconciling. So grateful for your forgiveness, for your patience, for your kindness to the Lord and us. We give you thanks for the great things that you do. So Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer, speak, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We want to speak from this topic this morning. I am the truth. I am the truth. Why are there so many religions? For the same reason that there is so much diversity in art, architecture, philosophy, language, poetry, music, religion, as such, is just another facet of human culture. It's an expression of man's desire to know the unknown, to see the unseen. It grows out of his longing to touch the mysterious world that lies beyond the veil of visible reality. The problem is that since the fall, human beings have had to pursue this quest in darkness. Genesis 3, the fall of man. You get to Genesis 5, and it says in the Bible, the Lord first mentions the first time that people began to call on the name of the Lord. It took them a long time to get to that point, because they were in darkness. After the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, they were also obliged to do it in isolation from one another. As a result, they've come up with many different answers to the same basic questions. And those answers include everything from the ridiculous to the sublime. So a bit like the old Hindu parable of the blind man and the elephant. You know, one blind man touched the elephant's trunk, came to the conclusion that an elephant is something like a snake. And the second felt a leg and decided that an elephant must be kind of a tree. And the third laid his hand upon the elephant's side and pictured a creature resembling a wall. And one says each man was right, but in another way they were all completely wrong, because they did not have eyes to see the truth in its fullness. The Christian gospel claims to give us the eyes to see the truth and fullness. And this way it claims to be something other than religion. The God of the Bible is not a God who can be found by searching or spiritual experimentation. Instead, he reveals himself on his own terms. We can know that he is there because he told us so. We can understand what he is light because he has taken the initiative to explain himself. He speaks through us, through the prophets and the apostles and his written word. He acts and intervenes in the human history. And ultimately, he assumes human nature and walks the earth in the person of Jesus the Christ. Christianity, then, is not just another religion. Christianity is a revelation. Jesus us in John chapter 14, before his departure from this world back to the Father's house via the cross, he declared in definitive and absolute terms. In verse 6 of our text, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but except through me. Many are asking, along with Pilate, what is truth? In his statement beginning with the words, God is, indicates that it is the ontological in nature. That is, the statement refers to an attribute of God's being. The attributes of God are typically categorized into groups, with the first being non-moral attributes, such as eternality, omnipotence, omniscience, right? Infinity. And also, there is the second category of God's attributes that are called moral attributes, one of which is truth. That statement, God is truth, speaks of God's morality. To say that God is truth is to acknowledge that truth itself proceeds or comes from the nature of God. While many things can have the truth, can be true, only one thing can be the truth. With that one thing being God himself. So Jesus makes a profound statement of his being or his essence when he said, I am the truth. Not a truth, but the truth. The Old Testament reveals that God is truth, right? The New Testament reveals that Jesus is truth because he said it. Therefore, if you use a syllogism and logic, therefore Jesus is the eternal God, right? So let's debunk the myth, all religions do not lead to God, as all religions do not lead to truth, because truth is a person. Now, point A tells us here, if you're taking notes, Jesus is the truth, not a religion. The great 20th century apologist Francis Schaeffer says that Jesus is the true truth. In John 1:14, John reveals us in his prologue to the Gospel of John. He says, and the Word, the Logos, the Word that was with God, the Word that was God, this Word, eternal, pre-existent, right, became human, became flesh. That's what Christmas is all about, the incarnation, the enfleshment of God. The Word became flesh, he became human, and dwelt among us, and we have seen the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Truth speaks of Jesus' identity, that he is the incarnate Word of God, the Word made flesh, the Word wrapped up in humanity. Truth, beloved, is personal. It's not a mental concept, a philosophical paradigm, or a literary figure of speech, like a metaphor or a simile. Come on, somebody. Truth is not subjective emotionalism. I don't care how much you feel something is true. It ain't true. Because truth by nature is objective. And that truth should apply to every human being. Truth exists outside of human existence and human experience. And every human being must bow to that truth, because that truth is objective to them, not subjective in them. Let God be true, every man a liar. So the Greek word for truth, aletheia, right? It's translated as unclosed, unconcealed disclosure or truth. Now, the literal meaning of the word is a state of not being hidden, a state of being evident, state of reality. Many of us are denying the reality of God. Thus, we deny the reality of our own. We're created in his image. In our text, Jesus told his disciples he was going to the Father's house to prepare a place for them. And he said that they know the way is home. And that ties the rationalist. Stands up and speaks on behalf of everyone else and said, raise the question, Lord, we do not know where you are. How can we know the way? Jesus responds, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but except through me. That is exclusivity. And he continues in verses 7 and 11, laying out the case that he and the Father are one in essence, two in persons. Y'all with me? Look at verse 7. Jesus says to them, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know me, know him, because you've seen him. How's that, Philip said? Lord, show us the Father. It will be enough for us. Jesus said in verse 9, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Because Jesus and the Father are one in essence and being two in person. You've seen me. You've seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? You see that? You see that oneness of essence and being? Father is in me. I'm in the Father. He's speaking of essence and being and not personality. He's not speaking of person. A husband and wife is one heart. They're one flesh. One in essence, one in being. But two persons. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. See what Jesus is doing? He's explaining the inexplicable. He is trying to make sense out of that which is incomprehensible to man. In essence, Jesus will say, if you can't believe what I say, at least believe what I do. At least let the works that I've done speak for me. So truth is rooted in the eternal God who's all powerful and unchanging. Jesus, beloved, is the truth, not religion. And I'm talking capital truth, the true truth. And not the little T truth, or a truth, or something that is true. We're talking about truth. The objective reality of existence, the objective reality of humanity, is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:20 says this, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, and his Son, Jesus Christ. He is, listen to this, the true God in eternal life. Jesus is eternal. Because Jesus is true. Jesus is God. You see that? All truth and reality is found in the Creator, not the creature. If I want to know where I really am, I need to get to know God. He created me. I didn't create myself. Even the process of reproduction is the work of God, not the work of man. Even though we participate as husband and wife, seed and egg, it's God's mechanism, right? It's God's work. It's God's choosing to bring life. Don't talk to me. All truth and all reality is found in him. There is no truth outside of him. And all truth is in him because he is truth. God did not learn the truth. You learned the truth. I learned the truth. Truth. The truth is not simply whatever God says it is. No. Truth is God. And God is truth. And all truth finds its source in its personhood, its being. And God. the founder of atheism. In all of his writings, he never claimed to be true. He says, I have a 5-4-9-4 path that you can follow to try and find truth and discover truth. But he himself, the founder of Buddhism, never claimed to be true. Or Muhammad, the founder of Islam, never claimed to be truth. He said, Allah is truth and Allah will teach you the truth. But he himself, who founded Islam, never claimed to be the truth. Jesus, founder and foundation of the church, claimed with clarity and confidence, I am the truth. Truth is a person, not a religion, a right or a religion. Jesus is the truth. That's why religious don't need to. Religious don't need the truth. Jesus is the truth. The truth. Leads us to a relationship with the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. Secondly, Jesus taught. It's the word taught. He taught truth. Now, truth is now moving, if you follow this passage, I'm moving from the person to the proposition. Jesus taught the truth. The one who is truth can teach truth. Truth is a person and truth is propositional. A proposition is simply a statement that claims to be always true. Something you're trying to describe in your thesis, in your dissertation, trying to prove this claim that Jesus is truth. Ephesians 4, 20 and 21, Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus about the difference between being in the light and being in darkness. The old man and the new man. He says in verse 20, but that is not the way you learn Christ. In 21, he says, assuming that you have heard about him and were what? Taught in him as what? The truth is in Jesus. Because he is the truth. And the truth is in him. And when we teach truth, we teach about everything that relates to Jesus. That's correspondence of truth. Right? That's the law of non-contradiction of truth. When we teach scripture, we don't contradict what God says. We affirm what God says by teaching the truth that Jesus is and the truth that Jesus taught. Because truth is a person, but truth is also a proposition. Psalm 25:5 says the same way. He says, lead me in your truth. We don't have this verse. Psalm 25:5 just put it down this morning. It just hit me. Psalm 25:5, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Isn't that wonderful? He's crying out from the heart to the God of his salvation to teach him the truth. Major Ian Thomas stated that Jesus Christ himself is the final exegesis of all truth. He's the final explanation of all truth. He is all that we need to know about God. Want to know about God? Study Jesus. Follow Jesus. Believe Jesus. Obey Jesus. Have I not been through this long? You still don't know that I am at fault. Taught you this. Jesus, who is the truth, taught the truth so that we can align our lives with that truth. Now, when Jesus became a human being, truth became more articulate to understand. He entered into time and space as one of us. He did this for our redemption, for our freedom from the whole of sin and Satan and the world to deliver us from our took time and spent. Truth came to redeem, and of course, he came to reveal the Father. Jesus revealed God to us through his teachings, through his living. He said, if you sin, then you've sinned of us. But those that went beyond true teaching and true living, he said, I am the truth. In other words, Jesus is claiming to be the very source, the very personification of truth. Only now manifested as a human being. He was claiming that if he never spoke a word, taught anyone, lived a day, that he was nevertheless the truth. He was the truth in human form, the incarnate word of God, made flesh. Now many people say, well, Jesus is just a man. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You know the truth. And the truth set you free. Matthew 7, 28 and 29. When Jesus finished these words preaching that long sermon, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, he has it in the 7th chapter, 28 and 29. Finished these sayings, that is, and these teachings. The crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not like the scribes. Because the scribes quoted other rabbis, Jesus quoted not. Jesus said, you said, you might have said, but I say. He spoke with authority, and that authority was amazing. To their social, cultural, religious people at that time. God tells us that he is the truth, he is the source, he is the originator of all truth. Hopefully we're now seeing that this isn't merely a matter of God inventing truth. No, beloved. The truth isn't a thing God invents or makes up. God is the truth. Truth is a person. The things and the various manifestations and impacts and communications of the truth are certainly there, but they are extensions of God himself. Now, teaching and preaching is extensions of the truth of God. How else are we going to hear if no one teaches and preaches it? They're extensions of God himself. It's the revelation of God being explained and revealed to the listener. Like this morning at Sunday school, truth was coming from the preacher, an extension of God himself to us. And some of us had that eureka moment, like, wow, I can see, I understand. For example, if I teach truth along some line of Christian living or some Christian doctrine, I'm not teaching about God himself. Because all those teachings, so he is. So if I teach you about how to live, how to forgive, how to suffer through trials, I'm basically teaching you about God and what came out of God to empower us to be like. Did y'all hear me this morning? So we are teaching about everything that relates to God's truth. All of it goes back to God. All the truth that we have learned, know, or understand comes from God, and it goes back to God. That's the fact that truth is God himself. See, the truths, with an S, Lord, that we discover, that we live, that we teach, are nothing more than how those things must relate. Husband loved his wife as Christ loved the church. How does that relate to God? It does. Christ gave himself on his wife. You see the connection. Children obeying their parents. How does that relate to God? Christian employers being faithful on the job, working as unto the Lord. How does that truth go back to God? So you gotta see how the truth in its propositional form impacts your practical living with the goal If I'm suffering through trials, I'm praising God through the storm. I'm blessing God in the midst of my mess. That's going back to the goodness and greatness of God. You see, all that truth we learn that we are money, when we apply the truth to our lives, that truth is going back to God. So truth should be applied and taught in the way that we need to God. Goes back to God's move with us, how he's moving with us, how he's manifesting himself through us. If we are about the truth. And that's what Jesus says to Pilate said, so you are. Jesus answered, are you asking me if I'm a king, or did you hear this from someone else? Is this your assessment, or is this assessment of the Jews? And Jesus said, for this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone is on the truth. Listen, this is your purpose. Pilate was not of the truth. He could not hear what he was not of. He was of Rome. He was of power, imperial power, and authority. He was not of God. Only those who are of God. Look at 2 John. So to the second letter of John, that's in the back of your Bibles, headed towards the book of Revelation. Folks, you don't read very often. Second epistle of John. Second epistle. You got 1 John, then you have 2 John. Go to 2 John, the first epistle. And let's zoom in on verse 1 through 3. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us, will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. See that? What truth is taught? What truth has applied? In relationship to God. Look at the third epistle of John. Next page. Third John. So look at verse 3 and 4. He says, for I greatly rejoice when the brothers came and testified to your truth, meaning your faithfulness, your fidelity, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are what? Walking in truth.
Living
in the truth.
Breathing in the truth.
Relating in the truth.
Working
in the truth. Doing all that they should do to represent me in the world. Say that for my children. Jesus is the truth. Jesus taught truth. Last week, Jesus lived truth. Did he not? His behavior was morally impeccable. It was free from fault or blame. Can you say the same? No, we cannot. No religious leader can say the same. No political leader can say the same. Because he's truth and we're not. When our research asked the questions of Americans across the social, economic, ethnic, and religious spectrum, was Jesus sinless? Americans were divided on whether or not Jesus sinned. About half of Americans agree, either strongly or somewhat, that while he lived on earth, Jesus Christ was human and committed sins like other people. That's 52%. Just less than half disagree, either strongly or somewhat, that Jesus committed sins while on earth. That's 46%. And 2% aren't sure. Similar to other trends and perceptions of Jesus, millennials are more likely to believe Jesus committed sins while he was on earth, and that's 56% of millennials. Gen Xers, boomers, and elders, as the rest of us, are all similar to the national average when it comes to Jesus said,
and he will send me.
He's with me.
He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him.
Ask him how he built.
I can't say that about myself. In relationship to my parents, to my friends, I can't make a statement like that, but I always do the thing that pleases God. I'd be lying to the truth this time.
Remember what John said in 1 John, first chapter, first letter of John?
Those in the church were claiming they did not sin. And he said those who made that claim, the truth was not in them.
They were liars.
I'd be lying if I said that. But those in Jesus' time could not be one. Because he who is truth, who taught the truth, lived truth. John 19:4. Pilate went out again and said to Jesus, I said to them, the Jewish leaders, see, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in this man. He made his assessment. This man is flawless. He's spotless.
He's the Lamb of God. You do with him what you want. But I don't see any basis legal to put him on a Roman's cross.
But do what you want to do.
My hands are clean.
And they said, some writers said that when Pilate went to wash his hand,
the blood never came off his hands. Because he was guilty.
And the songwriter said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood.
Lose all their guilty stains.
Lose all their guilty stains.
You remember Sister Pilate said, don't mess with that man. Don't touch that man.
I had some bad dreams.
She was talking about the truth.
In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth and to all churches throughout human history, for our sake, he made him to be sin.
Let's stop right there, because I hear somebody say,
oh, the scripture said, he was made to be sin.
Well, let's dive into that.
Sin in what sense?
That's the first question you ever ask when someone proposes that question.
Sin in what sense? Not by nature was he sin.
We could be a perfect sacrifice.
It's by substitution he was sinful. Not by nature was he sinful. It was by substitution that he was sinful. Why? Because he was offered as a sin offering to God. And we know from the Old Testament, any sin offering had to be perfect. It had to be spotless. Jesus was spotless. Blameless Lamb of God was offered as sin. Who knew no sin. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God.
That's what Peter said to the church in Asia Minor, 1 Peter 2:22.
He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth, because everything that came out of his mouth was truth and proposition, because he was the truth by nature. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus spoke things and claimed things and made statements that were always true, because he was by nature true.
That's not true for us.
Sometimes the Bible teacher got to go back and redo some things.
Reteach some things. Clarify some things he said before.
Jesus never declared wrong statements.
He never said, well, class, I was wrong last week on that one point. But this week, I cleared it up.
Jesus never had to say that.
You have to say that, those who teach the word of God. I have to say that, those who preach the word of God.
Because we're not truth. He is.
But we teach his truth revealed in scripture. And we get the scripture wrong. We go back and say, I got it wrong. I'm going to correct this. I was in error.
Which most many leaders in position don't want to do. And they go from an error to another error to another error to another error. And they become a false character. False teacher.
So good to be an error. You're not omniscient.
But it's bad to stay in error.
And then you get more error.
And you become a heretic or false teacher.
And then the Hebrew writer says,
says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Without sin. Let's draw a distinction here between what Jesus was, what he did, and what he spoke. What Jesus did and what Jesus spoke was truth in action. That's all it was. Truth manifesting itself. Truth living out its reality in the world. It was truth himself living out the truth as a human being. It was Jesus rightly related to the truth. His Father manifesting his power through his Son. Speaking through his Son. Working miracles through his Son. And the Son was submissive to the Father. And he did that to sinless perfection. But the only reason this was possible was because he was truth. That's why it was possible. Who he was resulted in what he did and what he spoke and how he lived. It is, of course, Jesus, the one person. But the point I'm making is that when Jesus said, "I am the truth," he was talking about his identity. Not only about the things he taught and lived. Jesus is truth, not religion. Jesus taught truth, proposition. Jesus lived truth, act. He lived under the law. He fulfilled the law. He became the perfect sacrifice of sinners. Napoleon Bonaparte, you know him. Between 1769 and 1821, he was, by all accounts, a giant of history, a soldier, a general, an emperor, and an exile. And although no one would add theologian to this list, Napoleon faced the question common to all human beings: who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? History has seen many different answers. Christians have claimed him as Savior, others have considered him just another teacher. A skeptic have determined him to be largely a mythological figure. Near the end of his life, the exiled Emperor Napoleon on the Rock of St. Helena came to the following conclusion about the King of Kings. This is what he said: "I know men. And I tell you, Jesus Christ was not a man. Superficial minds see a resemblance between Christ and the founders of empires and gods of other religions. That resemblance does not exist. There is between Christianity and other religions the distance of infinity. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? On sheer force. Jesus Christ alone founded his empire upon our faith. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him. In every other existence but that of Christ, how many imperfections? From the first day to the last, he is the same, majestic, simple, infinitely firm, infinitely gentle. He proposes to our faith a series of mysteries and commands with authority that we should believe them, given no other reason than those tremendous words, 'I am God.' Bible Protectus is a French emperor who's talking like a theologian, like a born-again Christian, as he academically surveyed history while he was sitting on the Rock of St. Helena as an exile by his own country. This is what he says. The Bible contains a complete series of acts of historical men to explain time and eternity such as no other faith has to offer. If it is not the true faith, one is very excusable in being deceived, for everything ourselves have never dared to deny the sublimity of the gospel, which inspires them with a sort of compulsory veneration, like happiness that book procures to those who believe in life. So said Napoleon. What about you? Who do you say Christ is? Scripture tells us that every nation, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is even the great Napoleon. Jesus is the truth, not religion. Jesus taught truth, and Jesus lived truth. And Jesus is calling his disciples to abide in his word, that we may prove to truly be his disciples, that the truth may take hold of us, and the truth may manifest itself in how we love. Father God, thank you for your truth this morning. We pray that this truth would speak to our hearts in the deepest recesses of our